Hello everyone and welcome to January's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. And you join us here back at the Heat and Hops. A big thank you to Damien for hosting us. We'll give the venue a good plug towards the end of the show. But round the table here, back in a physical environment, we're joined by Mr. Andrew Simpson.
Hello.
Reporter from Cheshire.
A.K.A. Everlast it's from nice. House of Pain.
Oh, I love it. Talk us through what you're wearing tonight.
I don't know why it's such a talking point. A Berkey needs to explain that. But
yeah. Well, I got to the bar.
You didn't realise it was me.
I genuinely walked. I just looked straight through Simo. Didn't recognise him at all. He's got this snapback on. Like...
Can I just suggest something here, that 99% of our listeners will not have an idea or a clue what a snapback is?
Just get on Wikipedia, look it up. Yeah, it's educational. Berkey's here, everyone, as well. Hello, Berkey.
Hello, Ben, how are you?
What are you wearing?
It's a hat.
A hat, good. Yeah. Also here from Belgium and Portland, Oregon, it's Swampy. Hello, Swampy, how are you? This isn't my fault. This is the introduction that we gave. Berkey jumped in. And we just had to go with it.
Listen, I'm happy to be a member of the Grateful Dead, but I'm also here tonight to sprinkle a little bit of magic, like FC did last night, on this radio show, because it's been lacking somewhat in the last few months.
And also here, social media officer from the Northern Premier League, it's James Hayes. Hello, James.
Evening, Ben. How are you doing?
Well, welcome to January's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. Plenty of things to discuss.
Thankfully.
Berkey, come to you first, because leading the league by 8 points, almost 10. South Shields.
Yeah, well, they're flying, aren't they? Won 7 out of the last 8 games. That defeat at Geisler, the only thing blotting the copybook so far in 2023. And they've won the last 4 games by at least 2 goals, so they're really hitting the straps at last. Earlier in the campaign, we were going, are they quite good enough? They haven't really melded yet. And your implied question there, Ben, was, have South Shields won the league already? And most of us around this table, in fact, all of us around this table, we're thinking, yeah, they probably have, haven't they? But come on, there's one thing that might just go against them. They've played 16 times at home, but only 11 away. So they've got some very, very tough away fixtures coming up. So I'm not going to say this is like make or break coming up for them or anything, but they have got some tough games, but they've got a load of points in hand. They've got a load of games in hand. Of course they're going to win the league. They've got to. It's about time.
I mean, the most impressive thing, I think, about this recent winning run they're on is just after the Geisler defeat, which wasn't a away defeat, but just the way they bounced back, Simo.
Yeah, maximum points, 13 goals, like Berkey referenced. They've kind of blown everybody away. I think he's right to point out that the number of away games got last, because there was a big talking point last season was how frail they were on their travels. They'll argue they've kind of addressed that to a point, but we are going to find out in the next few weeks. What you are looking for then is, if they do stutter, is who's going to break from the pack? And what will give South Shields reassurance is everybody continues to take points off everybody else. And so even if they do slip up once or twice, I rather suspect that their lead won't be eaten into too much. Who would you pick to be the one that breaks clear at the moment? You'd have to be brave to bet on one team more than the others, although we'll come on to it, Warrington have quite a good run at the moment. But that would give me a little bit of comfort that there's a bit of wriggle room if I'm a South Shields supporter.
Yeah. Is it worth mentioning about that they were 10th in the table and looking like they were going to miss out again?
They had all them games in hand.
They had 4 games in hand, which they still do now, though, in fairness. So it's literally been since Christmas they really shined and come through, I think.
In all fairness.
They've had a cup run as well, but...
It'll be close. It'll be closer than 10 points. There have been teams that have been right up there.
It'll be interesting to see, Berkey, about the away games coming up. And
tough ones immediately coming up.
Yep.
Yeah. They've got this lead. It's about holding on to it now and not letting it go to their heads a bit.
One of the things that they've got in there in real favour, we all love our managers for all our respective teams, but they've got an ex-professional footballer who's been at the very top level. He'll keep them calm, he'll work with them, and they'll take game after game, the old cliche, but they've got something around them this season. They're now where they are, and they've done well, because obviously with the FA Cup run and all the rest of it, and that's the only reason why they were so far behind in games. And they are now where they are, and I would expect them, as I say, to win the league by 4 to 6 points.
Coming up for South Shields, Rylands this weekend. Gainsborough away midweek on Tuesday, and then Matlock at home next Saturday. So we'll know more after those three matches.
Belper fighting for the life as well, down the bottom.
I mean, what a cliche that is.
What?
We'll know more when them games are finished. Of course, we'll. It's the most obvious thing anyone could ever say.
We've been doing this show now for over 10 years. This is
how
it works.
And you know what? As a listener outside of this now, I'm getting bored of it.
They love it.
Will he stop saying, well, we'll know more after these three games? Because if you do that, there's no point to the show, is there? Wait till next month and go, okay. Goodness gracious.
Hyde United, are you the team that's going to close that gap?
Potentially, Ben, potentially. Hyde United are the ultimate lies, damn lies and statistics team at the moment. You can cut this cake however way you want it to suit whatever story you want to tell. Hyde have only lost 1-8. Admittedly, it was a pretty dire performance on Saturday against Ryland. But then you go, oh, hang on, they're not doing too great, are they? They've won 4 in 14 and they're in second place. That's a bit odd. But then you go, oh, hang on, they've barely lost any games, full stop. They're a really, really difficult team to beat, Hyde. This next week, it's a year since Nick Spooner took over.
And he's done an incredible job.
Yeah.
The transformation is absolutely ridiculous. A year ago, when we were playing against... I'm sorry about this, Simo.
But come on.
No, the game we played against Witton Albion, the 3-2... How tense was that for both of us?
Yes.
It was horrible, absolutely horrible. But there was makings there of a good team. He's added to it. He's finessed the squad. And we're doing really, really well. To be in second place a year on. Yeah, in last 12 games to Hyde, really big couple of months.
6 points inside the playoffs with those 12 games to go as well. Mm. I think
we need 70. Everyone needs 70 to make it into the playoffs.
I mean, for a long time, for the last couple of months, it's been South Shields, Hyde United, Gainsborough. Obviously, we'll cover Gainsborough in a second. Bamber Bridge have worked themselves into that club as well in recent weeks. But Warrington Town, Simo,
yes,
they have come out, not nowhere, isn't true. They've been fifth, but... They have got into gear slightly in the last couple of weeks. It has been noticeable.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. You kind of dabbed the accelerator in the past couple of weeks. But Berkey's point about Hyde can kind of apply to Warrington because they are draw merchants. So it kind of feels like they've not had this surge up the table. They've kind of crept up the table while everybody has been kind of stumbling around them. But it is coming together at the perfect time for Mark Beasley.
Isn't that crucial though, the fact that when they're not playing so good, they get a draw, and when they win, they win.
I mean, even while they have been, Warrington,
what football genius that was. Keep it in.
Yeah, I will.
Try again, Ben.
I will. When they win, they win, and when they draw, they draw.
Well, Warrington have retained. They've always been really difficult to beat. The faces change, but the kind of game against Warrington, you always know they're going to be really difficult to break down. The defensive record is good again this season. Though I did read B saying that he thinks he should have kept more clean sheets, although they have now picked up a couple of clean sheets this week as we record this. But what I mean by things coming together, that you know, Jordan Buckley missed a huge chunk of the season. He's now coming back. Josh Amos had his time on the sideline. He's now coming back. So they've kind of got that potency in attack now, which is pushing them over the line to win games. Another point you made this week was interesting. Is they're still running a very, very small squad, so they're going to need a little bit of luck with injuries and suspensions. They'll probably say, well, hopefully we've got our bad luck with injuries out of the way, because they've had some real struggles with injuries this season. But position now perfectly. If they win the game in hand on Hyde, they'll climb to second. Do they then emerge as the main challenge of South Shields? We'll have to see. But yeah, they're in a really, really good position.
Do they become the main challengers to South Shields potentially?
Well, seeing as the last teams have beaten themselves were Guiseley back in November.
Yeah, 11 unbeaten.
I think so. Yeah. Come back and just grind results, and again, this is what gets you into the playoffs.
Warrington's consistency.
So that's the main thing.
Ridiculous, really, isn't it?
But again, this
and
is incredible.
And with the change of managers as well, and it's exactly the same
seamless.
As the Cardin era.
Yeah.
It
seamless.
Really is.
But this is what, again, this is where Warrington do it every season, it seems. They start off over about 6th, 7th in the playoffs, push towards the end. This year, it seems like it's going to be a little bit different. If they keep this form up, they might be the ones who could potentially catch South Shields if they start to have that little bit of a wobble.
Bamber Bridge, they're in 4th, and they're in an incredible run at the minute. And I spoke to Jim Milligan a couple of weeks ago, and he said, no one predicted us to be where we are. And
it's true.
No, it's not true.
Is it not?
No.
Who did?
Swamper.
Did he?
In the preview show.
He actually did.
And I said to Jamie off air, I went, there was one man.
Not on air. Oh, it's like that, is it?
There was one man who stood out of the crowd.
And
here he is.
What did he say?
He said, they'll make the playoffs. That's what he said.
What did Jamie say when you told him?
Oh, he went, all right.
He went, that's his version. He called me and went, Swampy, cheers, pal. You've always known about the game. He, as a manager and a player, has always been, for me, top notch. He knows the game well. His loan system has worked well. I think the affordability for the club that has run very, very well can change a player to another player without any real making the team not function in the right way. Bring a player in, or will he work? He knows the player to bring in straight away, and they just carry on as if they've played there for a little while. I think he's done an absolutely tremendous job. I think Bamber Bridge as a club are so well run. They work with the budget they have, and they work within the constraints that they have. But having a player like he was, and a manager that he is,
One of the best teams to watch in the league. I mean, we've had conversations about Bamber Bridge the past couple of years.
Well, we always talk about the loans, but Finlay Sinclair Smith, Nathan Pond.
He's built a team as well. Yeah. But then cleverly added to it. But we've talked a lot about kind of Bamber Bridge establishing themselves at this level. We spoke a little bit about Micklover in these terms, can they take the next step? Bamber Bridge have consistently now been in that top eight area and deserve to be there. You know, they're there on merit, that we should be talking about them now as being contenders to be promoted.
And he will have learnt a lot from last season.
Yeah, of course he had. Big month coming up for Bamber, isn't it? Big six-pointers coming up, aren't they, Ben?
Against I love a good six-pointer, Birkin.
I know what you do against Gainsborough, but then they've got to go. And here's a segue. I'm doing your work. I'm doing your job for you.
I love it.
I'm doing your job for you, Ben. And then they've got to go to fifth place, Radcliffe.
Radcliffe, James. Into the playoffs.
Since if started playing football again. Obviously, they've been snowed off a bit since the defeat on Boxing Day against Rylands. They picked up some good form, and we've not lost in 2023 yet. A couple of games in hand, and they're starting to pick up the points.
And did Staley Bridges run as well?
Exactly.
And let's not forget, you did say at the beginning of the season, you had a feeling that you would be there or thereabouts in the playoffs this season. You really had a confidence there if it went well, and it has, and you have done well.
Radcliffe have replaced Gainsborough in the last week into the playoffs. Gainsborough's form's been a bit patchy, but how big's that win against Mask, Simo?
We'll know more on Saturday because they're going to get properly tested by Bamber Bridge. I mean, the four games they lost, they didn't score a goal in them, so it was probably getting very concerning because they were very firm in the players, looking nice and locked in, and that now is in doubt. In fact, the next two games are Bamber Bridge and then South Shields. So Mask on their kind of catch-up tour at the moment, so it's really hard to know how much to read into that.
But I hope they do a T-shirt with that on.
Yeah.
I think they are, and I think they're actually supporting Take That.
Yeah, I mean, we'll come on to them later, because they had that great win at Ashton and then have really had some tonkins since then. It will be a relief, if nothing else, that they've to winning game. Scored six goals, three guys got a double, you know, nice night at the office.
That's a big couple of games coming up, isn't it? Bamber Bridge and South Shields.
Yeah, of course. Well, those four defeats they had were all against teams in the bottom half of the table as well, so doubly unexpected, really. But Mask, look at them, they've conceded 16 goals in the last four games, so maybe it was expected that they'd put a few in the back of the net. And 6-2, mind you, fantastic scoreline.
Well, Gainsborough, like we said, big couple of games coming up. Matlock Town have got themselves, well, I think they were there or thereabouts anyway, weren't they? But the last couple of results have been
really encouraging.
Really encouraging.
Yeah, there's a sense that it's coming together under Martin Carruthers. Looks like Matlock are on their third manager of the season. There's been a lot of turnover as well after Craig Elliott left, so he's not quite starting from scratch, but he's had to make a lot of signings to then start to implement his ideas in the middle of the season. Not an easy thing to do, and these back-to-back 1-0 wins that they've had this week, they'll take enormous heart from that. And despite all of the upheaval, they remain seventh in the table and very much in the race for the playoffs, so they're in a good position.
Yeah, this is where at the same time now we start to get to the table where form isn't necessarily a thing at this moment in time. There's a lot of teams in that mid-table coming towards the bottom end. As long as you're picking up 3 points, you're jumping up the table every week, or even a draw.
It's contested.
You look at the form charts, everyone in that little bit of a table can't string 2 wins, 3 wins in a row at the moment, or get 2-3 draws in a row. Everyone is beating everyone, and this is where we saw...
And everyone's playing everyone.
Indeed so as well.
But on that, it's going to be a real test for them this month, Matlock. They've only lost once at home so far this season, but they've got coming to Causeway.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
Yeah.
Good game.
Yeah. They've got coming to Causeway Lane this month, Guiseley. They've got Warrington. They've got Hyde.
South Shields away as well.
And South Shields away.
Yeah, they have.
And then they've got them at home a couple of weeks after as well. In March.
So we'll know more.
We'll know more, won't we? Yeah.
We will know more.
What about FC United? Because they've not got form going yet, really. I mean, that was a good win against Guiseley midweek, but it's been a slowish start to 2023.
Well, yeah, we've only played about three games, in fairness. I mean, I think FC United and Manchester have certainly in 2023, with the amount of players that have come and gone, and especially gone, we've lost four in 2 weeks. That's very, very hard to take as a manager.
Especially when you've lost the least top goal scorer as well.
I mean, no one at FC United, and I'm sure anyone across the Northern Premier League would wish anything other than congratulations to a great, great player, Regan Linney, going to Old Trafford. Some people would say, oh, is it a big step up? Of course it is. It's a full-time pro club now playing in the National League. And good luck to him. Have we FC replaced him yet? No, you're not going to replace him within 2 weeks.
You can't replace him.
You can't, no.
I mean, it's about FC adapting.
It is, and last night was a great opportunity last night for FC maybe to see what we're made of.
Sam Pepler, what a good signing
he
is.
Yeah, I mean, and these are players that, you know, step up to mark against, I have to say, a very resurgent and I believe a very good quality, a footballing team. Guiseley are a footballing team. They've got some absolute quality on show. And last night, these young players at FC United and Manchester, well, were they going to step up to the mark? And they did. I mean, you know, we scored a 97th minute. You're not going to come back from that. But the work rate, the quality, they can go into the big game against Lancaster on Saturday with the heads held high and also believe they can win a game.
We've seen Adam Dodd in action now for the last month or so.
Yeah, indeed.
It's pretty phenomenal stuff, isn't it?
Well, I think the footballing community in the Northern Premier League and equally in semi-professional football has been absolutely superb toward him. I think even higher on, I mean, I know he's got a Christian Eriksen signed shirt. And yeah, he's back and no one expects him back so soon. He's come back and he's been absolutely superb, and he's a great semi-pro footballer. He's a lovely, lovely guy, and anyone has ever met him or knows him, as we know with most footballers in fairness, but for what he's had to have and endure, it's great to see someone coming back and playing football and enjoying it again and being the full throttle of it, not running out of challenges, not scared of playing against. I'm wonderful. I'm really pleased he's back. He's a great guy as well.
Welcome back to the Pitching In NPL show for the month of January. Part two is here. Let's go back to this playoff line, and 3 points from the playoffs. Sitting in ninth is Marine. Are you surprised at the minute, Simo, that it is still this close? Because
yeah,
I think everyone was
February,
expecting it to stretch out a little bit.
I think, well, some teams are going to be rapid me saying this, I think that's where you do draw the line. I don't think anybody below Marine is going to challenge for the playoffs. Others may disagree. Fair enough. I think Neil Young said to you last week, they kind of got through that little rocky patch. Yeah. They lost a couple of games, firmly put that behind them now. Best defence in the league. Mm-hmm. No one has conceded fewer goals than they have. 12 clean sheets. But I would give a shout out to a guy at the other end of the field. You know, when we talked about Sol Solomon coming in from Jersey Bulls, got 9 league goals now. Marina kind of is holy grail to find a striker because they've been so solid at one end, really struggling for goals at the other end. He could be the difference now. Scored the winner against Staybridge on Tuesday to getting them into the playoffs. Really good run of form.
Marine this month have got an absolutely massive opportunity.
They really
While
do.
All the teams above and around them are playing against each other and knocking stuffing out of each other left, right and centre, Marine are playing against four teams who have got relegation worries. It's a real opportunity for them to, if they can string a succession of wins together here and take advantage of the other teams taking points off each other, then they could be right up there next.
Are we going to say the same thing? There's no easy games. We're not going to
say that. What I was going to say is, though, but equally, we've just talked about Gainsborough having those four games that no one expected and then have a big bounce back. So, again, I mean, the beauty of this division at this moment in time, and we talk about there's a line, we have to at some stage decide amongst ourselves where that line is. As with all teams at this moment in time, that there or thereabouts, every game now, I mean, I think I was talking about it last night at the game. You know, you can be in fifth position, and the next game, depending on the results, you can be in ninth position. So the division is so tight and so it's so competitive, which is great.
Definitely.
And that's the beauty of... I mean, and we've always said the Northern Premier has always been competitive. This season, more than ever, it seems to be even more competitive because, you know, I show friends back in Belgium the league and they go, bottom four and top five, there's 12 points between the two teams. I know exactly. That's a beauty. And that's what semi-professional football, and certainly our division, is really showing at this moment in time.
Neil Young was like non-committal when you said to him, well, what do you think for the second half of the season?
I think all the managers have
been. He's right to do that. And obviously, back-to-back promotions for Marine would be an enormous thing, you know, to go up to the National League North in two seasons. So I think they can do it, you know. Yeah, I think I was just about to say that. Sorry.
Marine are 3 points from the playoffs. 4 points from the playoffs, Warrington Marlins.
They looked absolutely mustard against Hyde on Saturday, but then went and lost 2-0. At Atherton Coles on the Tuesday night. But that kind of sums up Ryland's season in a little two-game nutshell. One thing I would like to say, though, is they've got a player called Kellyan Mai, who he didn't play last night for whatever reason, but on Saturday he tore Hyde United apart. He was brilliant, on loan from Salford. And just to make me feel really, really old, he was born on the same day I got married. Probably the best player I've seen this season, actually. Interesting who to get in as the new manager, though.
Well, just this is the other thing. I mean,
they've said they're going to take the time before making the next appointment. Because Jody resigned, yeah, so they weren't necessarily kind of thinking about making a change. They've got the two senior players, Dean Firmin and Sam Edgerton, in charge at the moment. But the chairman has said they're going to take the time. The kind of mood that sends to me is that they're kind of...
Content. Simo made the point about Marine being the cut-off. Rylands have got South Shields at home this weekend. What about Geisler? Because Geisler are now 6 points from the playoffs. I feel like that's the cut-off, actually.
I think if Geisler play anything like they played last... I mean, I got to say, I was very impressed with them. And they've got players on that pitch that play football. Whittam, top draw, Chippendale, excellent. Boateng was superb, but they had an attitude in the game last night that really, I mean, they were massively disappointed in not winning the game, don't get me wrong, but I just was really impressed with their attitude, the way they played the game. They're playing good football, and they are going to, if they play like they did, I mean, they won't lose a game again the way they played last night, because they were superb. They are going to be there or thereabouts. There's no question it for me. If they carry on like they did last night, they've got a real opportunity.
Stafford Rangers at home for them this week. And that's, I mean, we'll come to Stafford in a second, but that feels like almost winner stays on at this point.
Pretty much, and they should win it, Geisley, I think. They're a classic Philo side. They're in your face, but as Swampy says, they can play a bit as well. They remind me at the moment of when he had Ashton United a few seasons ago and got them up into the playoffs. And... Yeah, I think the real contenders, actually. It's just a case of stringing the results together.
Then, as we were saying, got Stafford Rangers. Ashton United are also on 36 points. I mean, it's 10 points from the playoffs now for those two.
Next five for Ashton are Radcliffe, Stafford, Whitby. Stafford and Whitby away. Gainsborough, Matlock. Get four wins out of that. He's right back in the playoff contention.
It's a work in progress.
Yeah. Steve Cunningham will admit that himself, won't
he? Yeah. Keelan Adams, he's on form. He scored three in the last three games. It feels like they're warming up.
Well, they've got Gilchrist, got Nathan Lowe. They're
ready for next year.
They're ready for a flyer. How often do you see it where a team finishes the season well, goes on to start the following season? Look at Hyde, look at Gainsborough this season. So, I think that's what they're going to be gearing up.
It's keeping the players, though, isn't it? It's keeping those players that he's got.
Stafford, I think they were just happy to get a win under the belt against Marsk. They came at the right moment for him there. But again, they've just...
Yeah, they did have to play Marine and Warrington, though, didn't they, as well? Yeah. So it's like, what do you take from that, really?
Again, you were talking about January, February. Everything's in the mix. Two or three games, you're right back in there. And Stafford is a hard place to go. They battle it out. And everyone at the moment, we're talking, are two or three games away from being in the very top half and going for it, or being in the...
Ashton United and Stafford Rangers are 6 points from the relegation line at the moment.
Half off the playoffs?
10.
You can't discuss it then, in fairness.
Mid-table, isn't it?
You can't
discuss... 2 points behind them at the moment is Stalybridge Celtic. Now, Simo, last month I threw out a couple of names for potential managers of the season was, I think we mentioned Jamie Milligan, didn't we? Nick Spooner and Neil Bishop at Gainsborough. What about the work that Chris Wilcott's done at Stalybridge Celtic?
Amazing. Well, we were talking about this off air, weren't we? But I think he deserves an enormous amount of credit. It's been a really difficult few weeks off the field. You know, in fact, I think it's when you were recording the show last time, wasn't it? The club put the statement out that they were making quite a big budget cut. And incredibly, Chris has managed to keep pretty much all of the group together. Perhaps even more impressively with that hanging over them, they've continued to win matches and have been in half decent form.
Seems to have galvanised them.
It seems to have galvanised them. And sometimes that can. You know, I've been around groups where, you know, particularly if you've got a good manager, they can really use that. So far, Chris seems to be able to have kind of harnessed that in a positive way. Hopefully he can continue to do that for their sake. I mean, look, they're 14th at the moment. They've still got work to do. But I think if you'd offered them that going into February at the start of the season, they probably would have taken it. And I just think you need that safe pair of hands. You need that kind of calm head under pressure. He's perfect for that role at the moment. He's also got emotional attachment to Stalybridge, and they've given themselves a great chance to stay up.
It's been unbelievable, hasn't it, really? Yeah. Some of the results they've managed to pull out. What about Atherton Coles and Lancaster City? Because
how much did Coles need that result last night against Warrington Rylands?
Yeah, they were just slipping a little bit, weren't they?
They seem to be getting the results against the teams at the top end, so getting the draws against Gainsborough's, your Hyde. Lancaster was a good result on the New Year's Day fixture. It's the teams down the bottom end that seem to be dropping the points massively. I think I said it last week, there's two, three sides that were just hovering above that relegation fight. Results went a certain way, they were getting dragged into it. I think Coles were one of them, definitely, that had got to start reacting a little bit now.
Do you reckon those two, I think Lancaster certainly have been, but do you reckon they're doing enough just to keep themselves above what's going on beneath them at the moment? I mean, it's still a bit close to call, isn't it?
They've both got significant amount of work to do still. I mean, you had Mark Fell on the show, and obviously you were previewing the fact they had two really tough games, and they've lost them both. But it was a remarkable situation that they found themselves in at South Shields at the weekend, where he ran out of players and he had to put his sub goalkeeper on as a striker. They have got one or two in, but they are absolutely ravaged by injuries, Lancaster, so be a little bit worried. They need to kind of get through this spell still with their kind of heads above water.
They've been great comeback kings in the last couple of weeks, though, say the last two fixtures.
What about Morpeth and Nantwich, who are currently just above the relegation line at the moment?
Again, another big win for Morpeth against Whitby last night. Again, one that needed.
Morpeth have been showing life, haven't they, in the last month? They've been picking out the odd win.
I think they will be okay. I might come to regret that, but I think they're better than some of the other teams down there and have just not shown it often enough. But I think they'll just about do enough.
Seriously though, was anyone expecting Morpeth 17th?
Not for this long.
I mean, even Lancaster 16th, Morpeth 17th. Nantwich Town 18th, Whitby Town 19th, and Mass United 20th.
Mass obviously played 23 games, so they've got a few opportunities. Stalybridge above stay, anything below, opportunity to go down, but Whitby will stay up. Always do it.
Swampy, I've got a cat just down here, and there's a load of pigeons over there, and I'm going to chop
this
cat.
He's going to throw it. He's going to throw it.
Right, Whitby, fourth bottom, are playing against Stalybridge on Saturday.
Yeah. But at the same time, Masks, February is going to decide their season. After Hyde, it's Whitby away, Coles away, Nantwich away. They beat four or five teams round them. They're out the relegation zone.
Masks are 5 points from safety at the moment with games in hand. What about Liversidge and Belpa? It feels like they were almost getting something and then defeats. It's kind of...
We'll say for Belpa though, Leah Attenborough's come in, looked like a team who could develop going forward, and when they play the teams down the bottom end, they could cause a bit of damage. I think they've got a great result against Liversidge to get them back into that situation. It's what they do against the bottom seven, bottom eight with what's left at this moment in time. It's going to be a tough ask, don't get me wrong, but if they can start getting that momentum and the team playing, they could cause a bit of damage down that bottom end.
I agree with you.
I mean, Liversidge have got games in hand. Let's do a quick round the table for the matches on Saturday, the 11th of February, in no particular order other than alphabetical. Aston United against Radcliffe.
Draw.
Draw. Good. Bamber Bridge against Gainsborough. Oh, this is huge, isn't it? Bamber Bridge against Gainsborough Trinity in a match I'm calling now Game of the Weekend.
It's a Bamber victory for me.
Okay. Belper Town against Marine.
Should be Marine, shouldn't it?
Yes.
Guiseley against Stafford Rangers in a winner stays on encounter.
I agree with that one.
Winner stays on.
I think Guiseley playing the better at the moment. I think it's there, and Stafford.
If Guiseley can move on from the way they played.
He'll want a reaction, won't he, Philo, after that?
I would say a Guiseley win.
Lancaster City against FC United and Manchester in a game that I'm calling. I'll be commentating on that one.
I'm saying a Lancaster win.
Lancaster win.
Yeah.
Because I'm commentating. You just,
No. I think it's not a happy hunting ground for FC. I would love to be proved wrong, but I think Lancaster will win the game.
This is a huge game. Liversidge against Nantwich Town.
Well, up until last week, I would have said it should be Nantwich, but with that win against Gainsborough, I mean.
But again, same time, Liversidge's home form.
Dabbers need to win, don't they?
Draw.
Mask United against Hyde United in the, as Simo called it before, the games in hand tour. Starting games in hand, though. It's a standard Saturday fixture for Mask.
Oh, no T-shirt for this one, then.
It'll be a 2-0 victory to Hyde.
Okie doke. Matlock against Warrington Town.
Draw.
Maybe Warrington 1-0.
Morpeth Town against Atherton Coles. That's a big game as well, isn't it?
Morpeth gets him out of that. Coles again back in the trouble straight away.
It's the sort of game that Coles win, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
My instinct with Coles is just to say draw anyway.
Yeah.
Stalybridge Celtic against Whitby Town. That's a vitally important game as well.
I did say that.
I know. I'm just reminding people.
Stalybridge win.
And finally, in what some people would describe as a significant game, Warrington Rylands against South Shields.
They've got to win, but South Shields, they've got the form going for them at the moment.
Yeah, I think South Shields will do it.
Should be an away win, shouldn't it?
I'm going home win.
There you go. And
Rylands win.
If in my place, I think they've got a chance.
Well, that's it for this week's show. Social media channels this weekend, James, before we leave.
Fisher Northern Prem with Facebook, Instagram, Twitter and TikTok, and then Northern Prem League on Twitter.
Good stuff. Well, we're going to go now. Just to mention, a big thank you to Damien at the Heat and Hops, at Heat and Hops on social media. But that's it for this month's edition of the Pitching in NPL show. But a big thank you to Swampy.
Thank you very much. Really enjoyed it. Nice to be back.
Mr. Ian Burt for 26-0.
Thank you, Ben.
Cheshire Non-League reporter, Mr. Andrew Simpson. And social media officer from the league, James Hayes. And we're going to go now. We'll see you all very soon. Take care. Bye-bye.